This is WBUR's All Things Considered. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer in Boston. If you have aging parents, maybe you've had the kind of realization Jim Bimeford recently had about his 82-year-old mother.
I should have been in charge of my mom about 18 months ago from a driving perspective.
Bimeford lives in Hopkinton, but his mother lives in Ohio. That made things tricky when he realized he had to take her car keys away.
She was pulling U-turns on the Columbia Bridge, and red lights were just an optional thing.
It wasn't until his aunt called and said, "Jimmy, you've got to get your mother out of the car," that he intervened. Every single day, countless times a day, people all over the country get calls like that. Mom caused a car accident. Dad had a stroke. One of them fell and broke a hip. And because the fastest growing part of our population is over the age of 85, those kinds of calls are going to become more and more frequent.
Everyone I know, because of the age I'm at, is dealing with this with their parents, their in-laws, a neighbor.
Kim Agricola is a 49-year-old from Medfield. She attended a workshop last week, the same one Jim Bimeford attended, that's teaching folks to be more prepared when that dreaded phone call comes for them.
My mother had a terrible fall last year, and it took my dad almost 2 weeks to get a home health aide in place because the process. Now, there are many people who have gone through this process that probably could have helped him make that happen in one day. There has to be a better way of communicating that, not having everybody reinvent the wheel.
A better way of communicating. A Newton nonprofit called the Chronic Care Community Corps, which runs this workshop, is trying to find that better way. It wants to use the experiences of people who've been through these crises to help others just starting to face them, and to train people to do more than just express sympathy or show up with a casserole when someone you know is coping with an aging friend or relative. Because, as Kim Agricola puts it,
we all want to live this long, full life and then just drop dead one day or not wake up, and it doesn't work that way.
One training technique at this workshop is role-playing. The idea is that if people act out real-life scenarios, they can practice how to support each other as they care for the sick and the elderly. In this role play, two workshop members act out the stress that can build up between siblings as they care for aging parents.
My brother just won't engage. I wish he'd do more.
Right. Have you had a conversation with him about that at all? Like, have you been able to work out who's doing what for Mom?
No. What happens is he calls and says, "Why haven't you done the proxy stuff? Why haven't you done this?"
Yeah. You sound really frustrated.
I am.
Yeah. I hear you. I'm not sure where to go from here.
So pause. We'll take
a lot of people aren't sure where to go from here when they encounter emotionally difficult situations like this. Yet this is the kind of family dynamic that comes up all the time when a parent starts to decline. That's why Ned Reimer, the founder of the Chronic Care Community Corps, says practicing these conversations is so important.
You can Google a tactical question, which you can't Google.
Tactical question mean, here's an assisted living facility.
Yeah, how do you assess this nursing home versus that nursing home? Or just before I do discharge, what are the four things I should look up or think about? I mean, those are questions you can actually answer. But you don't even know how to Google struggling with my sisters around caring for Mom.
But those questions will come up again and again as more of us care for our parents, our spouses, our family, and our friends coping with the problems that come with aging.
Just look at the demographic trends. If we don't consider ourselves part of this, we are setting our society up for an implosion where there's not enough capacity to care for the elders in our society. Society and community has to get off the sidelines and play a role in the future health care of our aging population.
This workshop met twice last week, and it will meet again 6 months from now to check on the group's progress. And we're hoping to track these workshop members as they put their training into practice. Because, as we've said, the reality is that death comes for all of us, and we have to be prepared for it. So improving so-called end-of-life care is something that's being studied in Massachusetts. Dr. Lachlan Farrow is chairman of a state panel that released a study this week recommending what can be done to help people have better lives at the end of their lives. In other words, how to help people have good deaths. Dr. Farrow, thanks for speaking with All Things Considered.